Sometimes I wish we could we could just leave the children in here, because sometimes they're the most fertile. You know, they have faith. They can understand concepts. And sometimes we're too educated. I want to thank you for your kindness, for your love, for your graciousness to not only Susan and I, but our family. God really graced the Knuff family when we met Tom and Jan and Don and Kathy and Pastor Josh and Heather and the good people of this church. And I'm so grateful. I want to thank you for supporting our son Joe and Kathleen and little Joe the Wrangler. You sent special gifts for them to be able to take the tsunami victims, and when all these churches were destroyed, and they were able to go there and buy new roofing materials and new church materials and pianos and different things like that. And they're in the Philippines. And what he does is he doesn't give it to the people. He goes and buys the roofing materials and the blocks and the cement and all that. And then he buys all that chicken and rice to go into the garbage dumps. It's hard to believe that people and children could live in a garbage dump, but they live in the garbage dump. And they find a shelter, they find cardboard, or they find a piece of wood, and that's how they live. And they swarm through the garbage dump looking for something to eat. And so your gifts have allowed Joe to go there and buy chicken and rice, and then tell these children and families about Jesus Christ. And they're having great revival in places like the Philippines. And so your missions giving in places like that really produces a lot of fruit. And we need to be so grateful that we live in America and that we have all that God has blessed us with. And God has blessed America because America has propagated the gospel around the world. We've stood by Israel. This has been one nation under God. And this has been a country of revival. And we're so blessed, and we ought to thank God every single day. If you can wake up and breathe and have something to eat and have the love of family and friends, you ought to thank God for it. And you ought to thank God for a church like this. I do not embellish at all when I say that very rarely do you ever, ever, ever find churches that really love people, that really care for people, really want to meet the needs of people. And you're loved in this place. And so, with the Knuff family and Spokane Baptist Church, it just goes both ways. And when Joe comes back from the mission field, he'll be going again this fall. He comes back broke. He gives away every dollar he has. His heart goes out to those pastors and pastors' wives all those churches. And all those kids, and he comes back broke. And I said, "Don't call me," when he arrives stateside. And he's made his way. And it's difficult as an evangelist to travel in a motorhome, and things are always breaking down. Something's always going wrong. It's not easy. Now, Susan and I, we get to travel, and we stay in hotels, and we travel by car, we travel by plane. It's not easy, but it's a glorious thing to do the will of God. You will never be happy in your life until you know God's will and you're doing God's will. The happiest people on the face of the earth are not at Disneyland. When you go into Disneyland, it says the happiest place on earth. And we watch these people coming out of Disneyland, and man, they're dragging. And the kids are screaming and crying, and they're tired. And I said, I thought this was the happiest place on earth. The happiest place on earth is a Christian's heart who's in the center of God's will for their life. And you'll never know joy and peace and true fulfillment until you've discovered God's will and you're doing God's will. And He's not trying to hide it from you. He's not saying, oh, you're getting warmer, you're getting warmer. No, you're getting cold. It's not hide and seek. But we don't take time to be still and know that He is God. I want to challenge you tonight, again, to live a supernatural life. Please. My goodness. There is so much power and so much blessing and so many miracles and so many great things that God has plan for us, but we don't have the faith. And Micah chapter 6 verse 8 says that what's required of us is to do justly and love mercy and walk humbly with our God. Now walking humbly with our God isn't just coming to church and then driving down the road. Walking humbly with God is meeting with God on a daily basis, confessing all known sin, praying for the filling of the Spirit of God, and then listening to the still small voice as He leads. The flesh does not want to obey the still small voice of God. I tell you what, I blew it this week. I'll just, to confession time, we had this, there was one of the maids at the hotel, had, they're cleaning the room every day and like they do, and Susan loves that because that's what she does at the ranch, you know, among many other things. And so, I said, well, we should give her a little tip or something. And I said, how about $20? And Susan said, well, I was thinking a 10. I said, well, let's give her $20. And then, and that was the leading of the Lord. I'm talking about something that's little, but something that's important. And so then I found out, she couldn't find the girl and find out that the maids switch off all around, you know. So I said, well, I guess, you know, if we can't find her, we can't give her $20. We should have found her. Because I went downtown Coeur d'Alene. When I came back, I had a $20 ticket on my car. And you know what hit me? You didn't do what I asked you to do, so I took the money anyway. You didn't give it to her, so you're going to give it to Diamond Parking. How long have you been saved? You know, if somebody says, well, where's Mrs. So-and-so? Oh, she's down at the hospital having her tithe removed. I've had my tithe removed a few times. You know, when are we going to learn? The just shall live by faith. And we talked about it this week, being hearing that still small voice, and in a church like this, being sensitive to the needs of people. Every person here has needs. Every person here is hurting. Every person here needs something. It may be encouragement. It may be love. It may be a pat on the back. It may be $20. Every person here needs something. And the church, that we ought to walk with God. And then the Bible says we ought to walk in love as a church, in the fellowship. We ought to walk in love, Ephesians 5:2. And so, when we come together, it's not just to hear singing and preaching, it's not just here to hear instruction, but it's to walk in love one with another, being sensitive to the Spirit, and then having the guts, that's a Hebrew word, to do what God's called us to do. To do what He's whispering to do. And Dr. Jack Hiles used to always say, be kind to everyone. Everyone's having a tough time. So we're to daily walk with God. We're to daily walk in the Spirit. That Galatians 5:16. We're to walk in love. We're to walk in the light. The light is Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7. He is light. And we're to walk in that light. And so we're to walk with God. We're to walk in the Spirit. We're to walk in light. And that's just not an intellectual concept. It's not just an ideological thought process. It is really walking with God. It is really walking in the Spirit. It is really walking in the light. It is really walking in love. And the only way you and I can do that is on the level of the supernatural. And the only way that we can live supernaturally is by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And then Paul told the Corinthian church, now perform the doing of it. And so, these things that we've heard this week, these things that we teach on Sundays, that your pastor teaches, listen, we must perform the doing of it. But it's not the flesh that must perform the doing of it. It's the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit and the empowerment of the Spirit that then helps us to perform the doing of it. I remember when I was in Bible college and we were in the building program and we had a big banquet and we said, they said, ask the Lord what He wants you to give over the next 90 days for the building program. And so, I prayed and asked the Lord what I should do, and I'm a Bible college student. I'm living by faith in Bible college, working at Sears. And I wrote down what God put on my heart. And there was a millionaire at the next table and a friend of mine, and he wrote down what God put on his heart. And after the banquet, he and I, we loaded up chairs and we were taking them back to the church, and we unloaded the chairs, and he said, Brother Gary, he said, would you come to the altar in the church here and pray with me? I said, sure. And we went down there. He said, Brother Gary, I've made a commitment and I have no idea how I can keep that commitment to God. And I said, well, I made a commitment. I had no idea how I could keep that commitment to God. And my commitment was hundreds and his was thousands. So we prayed right there. And we said, God, help us. God, help us keep our commitment to the building program. A millionaire and a Bible college student with holes in his shoes. And within 90 days, God helped us and did a miracle for him and a miracle for me. Man, I wish I'd have pledged thousands. Huh? And so now perform the doing of it. And I want to say that you have to. I was doing this today. I have prayer journals, and this is one of my prayer journals here. But I have other journals that I filled up, and I was in the motel. I was going through some of those journals, and I was looking at names of men that were at the prayer experience in this church with Brother Tom, and they're not here anymore. And do you know the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. It's not an option. It's a command from God. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. It amazes me how we lose people along the way because they draw back. And people with health problems and people with financial problems and people with marriage problems and family problems and relationship problems, and yet they draw back from the very source where they can have their problems taken care of. It's a tragedy. And so now perform the doing of it. It happens when we are intentional. We're intentional. And we're diligent. As if everything depends upon it. Everything depends on it. Because it does. Everything in your life your health, your mental state, your emotional state, your physical, your financial, your educational, your family, your relationships. Everything in your life depends upon the things that we have talked about this week. It depends on whether you're going to be in victory, and whether you're going to see the miracles of God and the blessing of God, and you're going to have the joy of the Lord and the love of the Lord, and it all depends on the things that we've been talking about this week. And we have to refocus daily. Pastor Josh just said, single focus. And today we're bombarded with so much. And at the ranch when we have our prayer experiences, you know, guys will start telling jokes, and then I tell a joke, and we're hiking up the mountain, and we keep having to say, whoa, refocus. And I'm telling them to refocus, and then a little later on they're telling me to refocus. Why are we here? And Gary Hines' brother says, Hey, let the guys have some fun, ride the quads and do this and that. Hey, they can have fun at home. They can have fun at camp. They can have fun at a retreat. This is a prayer experience, and the experience is prayer. Focus. And so on Friday and Saturday, we have just a little over 24 hours to focus as men of prayer, to pray for our wives, pray for our marriages, pray for our children, pray for our grandchildren, pray for our jobs. Refocus. And that's what Sunday is. It's refocusing day. But every day needs to be refocusing day. Meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and all day Sunday. See. Focus. Now I'm so grateful for this church. It's the last night. I'm so glad that we have the prayer experience on Friday and Saturday, because I don't want to leave yet. You know, I want to bask in the fellowship of God's people. And it's so precious, and it's so important. I want to tell you tonight that your pastor is a young pastor, but the hand of God is upon him. And I think Josh is about 33. He looks like he's 16. I wish I could get my hair to go up in the front like his does. Hush up now. You get into trouble like you did last night. I'm just teasing. I love it. Isn't it funny how we're all different? Yeah, we are. Huh? Hush up now. I'll do the preaching around here. So anyway, your pastor Josh is, I think he's 33. Our son Josh is 34. And the hand of the Lord is on those young men of God. I mean, they're men of God. And by the way, Josh is 33. I guess he's old enough to crucify. Yeah. Yeah. So don't let people do that to your pastor. And I want to encourage you with something, because I've been around this thing for a long time. For years and years and years, and I've seen, you know, giant churches and all kinds of ministries and church planting and all that kind of thing. But what I do know, one of the things I know, is that the great churches that are being built today, like by Paul Chapel there in Lancaster and West Coast Baptist College, and Jack Treber in Santa Clara, California, Clarence Sexton down in Knoxville, Tennessee, is that each of these men, have two or three spiritual gifts, but the church builders all have the spiritual gift of administration. They are able to administrate and organize and lead people. And your pastor, I believe, has that spiritual gift of administration. And so this church this isn't the end of the story here. It's going to get a whole lot bigger, and needs to. And so you can be a part of a miracle. You know, one of the keys in life is find out what God's doing and get in on it. You know, ride that wave. And so God's doing something here. You know, Tomorrow was Brother Tom Asbury's birthday, and I hope that you'll pray for Jan, because I know. And when we'd come here, we'd have a birthday lunch out there at their place, and so it's going to be a tough time for Jan. But wait a minute, you know, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And in God's timing, in God's place, Pastor Tom finished his course. And everything's about timing. And God knew that this was the time and that the mantle would fall to Pastor Josh. And so if God's in on it, you get in on it too, because that's the place of blessing. My wife reminded me about how I preach sometimes, be where the blessings come down. You know, wherever the blessings come down, that's the place I want to be. Huh? Well, be where the blessings come down. I'm telling you, the blessings are here at Spokane Baptist Church, and don't draw back. The Bible says if any man puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he is not worthy. So just keep on going. You know, stuff's going to happen. The devil's going to try to sidetrack you and get you off course and everything else. But be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, the Bible says. Now, let's start the message. Yeah. And I'm going to be short tonight. But let's go to the book of Luke. I want to show you what God's put on my heart tonight for you. Luke. Now, I can't, you know, when I think about it, I'm so excited for the future of Spokane Baptist Church. I have a vision for the future of Spokane Baptist Church, but the vision isn't my vision, it's your pastor's vision. It's the leadership. And thank God that you have Brother Don Tucker. I mean, he's Deacon Don, but he's really like a pastor. You know, you had three pastors, really. And now really you got two. That's what a deacon does. And but in the last chapter of Luke, man, I'm excited about the future of this church. Man, I have so much hope. You know, Jesus is the blessed hope. And when you get around a church like this and people like this and a pastor like yours, there's hope. Wow, people need hope. Now by the faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity, but you still need faith and hope. Mm-hmm. By the way, Gary and Belinda Hines, their two oldest granddaughters are Faith and Hope. That's good. And they're full of faith and hope, too. Anyway, last chapter of the book of Luke. Listen. They said, they were on the, these disciples were on the road to Emmaus. And they met somebody on the road to Emmaus. And in verse 31 of the last chapter of Luke, Luke 24, all of a sudden, in verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while we walked with us by the way, and while he opened up to us the Scriptures? Listen, if you will walk with God, if you will have a time in the garden daily with God, if you will take not just an hour of prayer, and some days, 3, 4, 5 hours in prayer, some days do that, I'm telling you, your heart will burn within you, and you will be so full of God and the Holy Spirit of God that you'll just be a blessing to everybody around you. Their heart burned within them and said, wow, wasn't that something? While he opened us the Scriptures, he talked with us, he walked with us, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That's real! And these disciples, they got to walk with Jesus for a while. And you know what? You can walk with Jesus every day. If you want to, you can do it. And the greatest... And those of you that are older, and those of you that are, you're slowing down, and your back goes out more than you do, Count that as a blessing from the Lord, because that means that you can have quiet time with God. And you can pray for your kids, and you can pray for your grandkids, and you can pray for the pastor, and you can pray for the church, and you can pray for the soul winners. You can meet with Jesus every day. I'll tell you, I know. I talked to him today. He said he hadn't heard from Paul Pizzello lately. He said, if you see Paul, tell him. But Paul's not here. He's backslidden. See, if you don't come, who knows what's going to be said about you. But anyway, so you can walk with him every day. Then look at this. He says, Jesus, and I have a red letter edition, so this is the words of Jesus in verse 49. Now, by the way, when I was a young man, I got somebody gave me a red letter edition Bible, and so I made a commitment. I said, I'm only reading the red, because that's Jesus talking. But, you know, it's all the Word of God. From generations to revolutions, all the way from the front to the back, it's all God's Word. And so, but anyway, Jesus is speaking, and he says in verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Did you get it? Jesus said, he said, I send the promise. Now there's a promise for us of my Father upon you, but you've got to go tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And here's where we mess up. We try to do God's work and God's will without tarrying in Jerusalem. So there's a power failure. We have no gasoline. We have no power because we have not waited in Jerusalem. And my friend, if you want to win more people to Christ, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power on high, then go soul winning. Now, turn with me in our little Bible study tonight to the book of Acts. We're on a little journey here. Acts, Romans. Let's go to Acts. Acts, and let's go to the first chapter of Acts. And chapter 1 and verse 4. Now, who believes you ought to keep God's commandments? Okay, some of you. Who here has kids? Who here knows a kid? Still only some of you. But wait a minute. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, this is Jesus, he commanded them. Do you think we ought to keep God's commandments? And by the way, the greatest commandment is to love one another. I don't like that commandment. When I grew up, scrapping in the city of Seattle. And then I went in the military. And you know, in the military, you're praying for war because you want to kill somebody. You're a trained killer. That's the flesh. That's the macho. And then I come home and everybody says, love, love, love. I don't want to love everybody. I don't want to be loved either by too many. As a little kid, you know, when grandma and them hug you, they just about murder you. Suffocate or strangle you to death. And, you know, I want to be a mountain man. I want to live off the land. But wait a minute. The greatest commandment is love, isn't it? And what's the first fruit of the Spirit? Yeah. And what's the first fruit of this flesh? Hate. Yeah. So, there's a better way, and it's God's love. You take us macho guys, you know, like Scott over here, man. You want to do a little road rage. How about being the apostle of road love instead of road rage? Yeah. Anyway, and being assembled together with them, commanded them. It's a command. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's a command from God that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days since. It wasn't a suggestion, but nobody tarries. Nobody waits for the promise. It's a commandment. It's not an option. It's not optional. And so everybody goes off half-cocked, trying to work for God, but not walking with God, trying to give the gospel, but not being endued with power from on high. And this church changed the world because they waited and tarried till they were endued with power on high and made a big difference. Huge difference. Then it says in verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth. I tell you, when I was growing up, man, I was fearless. You know those t-shirts, they have no fear? You're stupid to wear a t-shirt that says no fear. You get a little bit older, you find out fears can be a good thing. But so when I was a rabble-rouser and I was in the military and I was running from God, man, I just dared people. Just look at me wrong. You know, I mean, fight or flight, I'm ready. And in the military, you know, we used to get in rumbles all the time. The guys in town, they didn't like us because their girls liked us. And, man, we'd have to fight our way out of there. And my attitude was strike first and strike fast. And even in the ministry, I've had people get in my face. When Joe and Josh were little, they'd go, uh-oh. Because I'd explode. I had no problem ripping their face off verbally, emotionally, and even physically. No problem. See? But wait a minute. When I got right with the Lord, and I went to a soul-winning church, and I knocked on the door, I was afraid. Wait a minute. The guy that would just dare somebody to knock the chip off my shoulder, man, just loud and just ready to fight all the time. And now I'm knocking on a door soul winning and I'm praying nobody's home. What? You mean when I was living for the devil, I could be bold? Now I'm living for God and I'm afraid? What am I afraid of? Thank you, Debbie. If you don't know, how am I supposed to know? Anybody here afraid to knock on a door? Just me? Anybody have kids? I can't believe it. Afraid to knock on a door and give somebody a tract. Afraid to knock on the door and say, hey, I'm from Spokane Baptist Church. What? Boy, is that the devil trying to keep you from doing what you're supposed to do. Man, just bold for the devil and afraid for God. That's not that doesn't make any sense. But wait a minute. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Witnesses, it's a command. But the first command was go tarry in Jerusalem. And then in chapter 2 there and verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Somebody said that's a miracle to get into a Honda Accord. Anyway, that's crazy. Verse 2, and suddenly Your pastor, he is so smart, and he is such a great thinker, and he has such a good heart. I can't imagine how it hurts him when he hears these messages later on. You know? I have a friend that wrote a song about Romans chapter 7. The good that I would, I do not, and the evil which I would not, that I do, and it's not I that could not do the good that I would not, the evil that I... And he wrote this song. It says, I'm a mess, I guess, and I must confess, when I'm at my worst, sometimes it's my best. And my one consolation, when I failed the test, I'm no better or worse, but I'm just like the rest. But I can imagine, your pastor, he's a bright guy, and then my messages are, like that lady that said, having heard your son, I'd have thought you'd have been a lot more polished. But I tell him, hey, my messages are like army chow. Splat, splat, Hey, I got to close, so let's get this done here. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now listen, this thing of tongues, here's how it worked. If you were here tonight, and I'm speaking in English, and you're German, and I'm speaking in English, and you hear it in German, that's tongues. That's what tongues was. They had all, and it lists all the dialects in the book of Acts here, and they all heard it in their dialect. They all heard it in their language. But nevertheless, they tarried in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit came down in power, flaming tongues of fire upon their head, and there was the fulfillment of the promise. There was the fulfillment of the promise. Wow. Well, look at the results. Turn over in that same chapter 2 to verse 41. Listen, remember I said, find out what God's doing and get in on it. God, listen, every one of us ought to want to be a part of something big, something of eternal significance. And you are. You are. You're doing something of eternal significance. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to go on for eons upon eons, forever and ever. And when you win souls to Christ, and when you give to missions, and when you sacrifice, and when you love God's people, hey, you're going to receive reward that's going to go on and on and on. But look at this. Verse 41 of chapter 2. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wow! What a day! 3,000 souls were saved in one day. Then in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Remember I said, don't draw back, don't draw back. God's not happy with people that draw back. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And the Bible says in verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and they had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. You know what they did? They took care of one another. That's love. Charity is love in action. Charity is love that gives. The world says, love, love, love. I gotta get love, gotta get love. But charity is love that gives. And then when you give love, you get love. They sold houses and lands, and if anybody had a need in that church, they were led by the Spirit of God, and they blessed those other people. They had all things in common. I'm not talking about communal living. I'm not talking about communism. I'm talking about being led of the Spirit to bear one another's burdens and help one another. And verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness and heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily as such as should be saved. So first of all, you had 3,000 souls saved. Now you have addition. I like addition. The Lord added daily to the church such that should be saved. All right? You with me? I'm telling you, God wants to do more with Spokane Baptist Church than you've done to this point. And you have to get it by walking with God, walking in the Spirit, walking in the light, being filled with the Spirit. Tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Somebody said, I read it years ago, and all night in prayer equals weeks of power with men. All night in prayer equals weeks of power with men. It was praying John Hyde that was a missionary. And he began to pray that God would give him one soul a day. And God gave him every day. God, he would win a soul to Christ. Then he prayed for two souls a day. Then he prayed for three souls a day. And every time he began to pray for one and then two and then three, God would give him three souls a day. And praying John Hyde, he prayed that God would give him five souls a day. And every day he'd go witness to somebody. And God answers his prayer. And every time we win a soul, there's rewards in heaven for us. Keep that in mind. So they took care of each other. 3,000 were saved. Now the Lord's adding daily to the church as should be saved. Now turn over to chapter 4, because I'm circling the field and I'm going to land. In chapter 4, verse 31, and when they had prayed, verse 31 of chapter 4, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the Word of God with boldness. Remember I said, boy, I could be bold for the devil, but then here I'm in Bible college and here I become a preacher and I knock on the door and I'm afraid. Well, what's the cure for that? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They prayed. The place was shaken where they assembled together. Something happened. Does anything happen when you pray? It ought to. The place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the Word of God with boldness. Wow. I love it when, my wife is shy. And I'm shy. And, I am shy. but I love it when my wife, when the Lord gets a hold of her and she's exhorting people. I love to hear it. She's exhorting people in the things of God. See, God makes us bold when we confess all known sin and we pray for the filling of the Spirit of God. Now we have a holy boldness. This is an incredible thing. So if you're shy, if you're timid, but you'd like to win souls, I just told you how you can do it. And the Bible says in the multitude, in verse 32, the multitude of them that believe, wait a minute. There was 3,000. Then the Lord added daily to the church. Now it's a multitude. A multitude. And so, wow, that's powerful. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of the things that which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power, dunamis, like dynamite, great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all, and we need that. Was there any among them that lacked? For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Wow. This thing was rolling. In Jerusalem, they said in those first few years, that church grew to 250,000 souls strong. Wow, it's a miracle. And so, look in chapter 5, verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of women, men and women. Multitudes. Boy, I like that. Now, listen, look for a moment. In chapter 6, in verse 4, they had a problem with the feeding of the widows. And so they said, look you out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, that we may appoint over this business. In verse 4, listen, here is Pastor Josh Tucker's job. But we will give ourselves, this speaking of the apostles, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Now, as a pastor today, you got to be everything. You got to have your finance hat on. You got to have your counseling hat on. Your counseling beard. People, counselors have beards. You got to do all this stuff. But the job of a pastor is to give themselves continually to prayer, praying for all of us. Continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. The ministry of the Word is preaching. The ministry of the Word is teaching. The ministry of the Word is counseling. The ministry of the Word is soul winning. It's the ministry of the Word. And listen, don't think that Pastor Josh has to do everything else because he'll burn out if he doesn't give himself continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word. That's his job. Then in verse 7, and the Word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied. Didn't I say addition? They were added daily to the church. Now, what's multiplication? It's your times Z's. Anybody good with times Z's? Times Z's have to be at least two times, right? You can't have one times. It has to be two times or more. And so now, these people prayed. They were endued with power from on high. They spake the Word of God with boldness. Oh, my goodness. And now, the number of the disciples has been multiplied. Wow. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Timesies. May I say to you tonight, that is what a New Testament church is and does. And as a member of a New Testament, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, sin-hating, devil's eyeball-gouging, chin-kicking church. I added the other stuff. A New Testament church. I can tell you that's God's will for Spokane Baptist Church, which is not the building, but the people. Listen, would you be an active participant in something big? Who won the Super Bowl last year? I don't know. We focus on all this stuff and we don't even remember it. Who were the NBA world champs? I don't know and I don't care. We focus on all these priorities that are nothing. But the church is going to live forever and ever and ever. And souls are going to live forever and ever, either in heaven or hell, depending on us obeying the Lord. We need to be an active participant in something big. Get in on what God's doing. Listen. I haven't shared this for a long time. I've shared it in this church before. But maybe I need to hear it. But when I was a little boy, I can see it right now. And I was in grade school. And I had a buddy named Mark. Mark lived in an apartment. Apartments were nicer than our house. And Mark, everybody picked on Mark, and so I kind of defended Mark. He was kind of roly-poly, jolly guy. And we're just, I don't know, 7, 8 years old. And one day he was handing out cards. And I got an invitation to Mark's birthday from his mother. And so I went home and I showed my mom, man, I'm going to a party. And so the day of the party came and, you know, my mom said, well, you can go home with Mark to the party. And so, boy, we're walking down the street, Mark and I. And, man, he's excited and I'm excited. And we went into his apartment house and the other kids were there. And kids were, you know, bringing presents and stuff like that. And they put a hat on my head, his mom did, one of those hats. Later I found that it's probably a dunce hat. But, you know, those party hats. And then they gave me one of those things that goes... And then they gave me one of those whistles that goes, whoo, and it's got a feather in the end. Here I am, I got my hat on, and I'm going, whoo, 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 simultaneously. And then we got to have some cake. Man, that was a beautiful cake. And I didn't know that ice cream came in three colors. I didn't know. I couldn't even say Neapolitan. Can hardly say it now. And so, you know, I've got the hat on and I'm going, whoo! And I'm eating my cake and I'm drinking high C tiki punch. And my ice cream, man, it was really good to be there. And then his mother said, okay, Mark will open his presents now. And one by one, the kids brought their present to Mark sitting on the chair. And I stood in the corner. And I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. And I didn't want to be there. And then I read in the book of Revelation where the 24 elders, 12 elders signifying the Old Testament, 12 elders signifying the New Testament church, and how the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints would receive rewards. God has rewards for every single one of us. Boy, I'm glad. And the Bible says that the 24 elders will cast their crowns at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I found that out in the Bible, I said, man, I'm not going empty-handed. I'm not going to stand in the corner and wonder why I'd never won a soul to Christ, never preached a message, never tried to help anybody, never tried to give, never tried to love. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to be in that lineup. And I'm going to bring my crowns and I'm going to lay them at the foot of my Savior that died on Calvary's cross for me, that shed His blood for me, that took all of my sin upon Him on the tree and rose again the third day. And I love the Lord. I mean, I stand on the mountain with my son Joe and with preachers and I proclaim, I adore the Lord Jesus Christ. I adore Him. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a crown to lay at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Find out what God's doing and get in on it. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter your status or station in life. It doesn't matter. God has something for you to do that only you can do, that if you don't do it, it won't be done for God. He has no feet but ours. He has no tongue to preach and teach and share and sow in but ours. Listen. He depends upon us. Why deity? Why deity would be handcuffed by dust? We're dust. And yet, He wants to love people through us. He wants to give to people through us. He wants to have the gospel preached through us. And when we get to heaven, I promise you, you have God's word on it. You have God's word on it. If you'll be faithful, don't turn back. If you'll just keep going. If you'll stay under the preaching of the Word. If you learn how to pray and confess all known sin and be filled with the Spirit. Tarry in Jerusalem so that you're not afraid when you go out to witness to somebody, but you're filled with the boldness of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm telling you, you can have a crown. You can have stars in your crown. And Jesus will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much time you wasted. I don't care, I think I said it today. I've been around a lot of people when they gasped their last breath in a hospital. I've never been around a person that said, oh, I wish I hadn't gone to church so many times. Oh, I wish I hadn't been a soul winner. Oh, I wish I hadn't given all that money to missions. Uh-uh. But I heard people that trembled and began to scream because they knew, they're not Christians, but they knew that they were going to be in a burning hell. So be ye not weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I'm telling you, you might have family members that come against you and curse you. That's okay. You keep on for Jesus. You might have church members that criticize you and rumorize you and hurt you. That's okay. You just keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep following Jesus. You may have people that say, you're stupid and you're not smart and you're not talented and you're not gifted. You know, they told D.L. Moody, one of the greatest preachers of the 1800s, some deacon told him, you know, you ought not to try to speak in public. You're not very good at it. And he led hundreds of thousands of people to Christ. Uncle Bud Robinson was a Nazarene preacher, and he talked like that. And he preached like that. And he got saved. He was a cowboy, and he got saved, and it changed his life. And he led tens of thousands of people to Jesus Christ, preaching like this. And he was in the hospital, and they put him in a Catholic hospital. And the people of God got around that hospital on their knees praying around there. And the priest came in and he was doing absolution. And he comes up to Uncle Bud Robinson, the evangelist, up to his bed. He says, and the priest says, do you have anything to confess? He said, yes, I do. I love Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and I'm on my way to heaven. And the priest ran out of there fast. Hey, God can use anybody. He's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. And as a little welfare kid, I told the Lord, I'm not much and I'm not the smartest guy around. But I tell you one, Lord, if you'll have me, I'll be a preacher boy for you. And he never forgot that. I'm telling you tonight, find out what God's doing and get in on it. Find out which way God's going. There's so much that can be done through Spokane Baptist Church and the greatest work that you can do. Oh my goodness, if you're having health challenges, you can pray in the hospital bed. You can pray in the hospital bed. You can pray anywhere. And together we can get this thing done. And together, if you'll pray and if you'll help your pastor, then he won't burn out. Trouble with most pastors, they're not burning out, they're rusting out. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I love these people. I love them. It's been such a privilege to be here. And Lord, I know that their pastor and his wife love them even more because you've called them to shepherd this flock. And Lord, I know these people love each other. But we confess tonight, Lord, we love you supremely. And I pray, Lord, that you would lift burdens tonight. Maybe the devil's been just whipping up on somebody and they're doubting and they're not full of faith, they're full of doubt, or they're full of fear. Oh, I know what that's like, Lord. I pray, God, that you would wrap your arms around these dear, sweet people tonight. And show them the truth of living a supernatural life in a supernatural way. And that the burdens that these people have would be lifted at Calvary. And God, that you would equip and empower them. Empower them by the Holy Spirit to do what needs to be done before Jesus comes. Lord, speak to each and every person tonight, I pray. Have your way in this last service here. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed in an attitude of prayer.